Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
I'm John Batsu with Judy Dempsey in Berlin, a senior scholar for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, commenting for me on the European Union in major concerns about the future. We started with climate, but we moved to the immediate tragedy of Ukraine. I learned from the FT in these last days two stories that are very clear, illustrative of the European Union's struggles, not only to pay for things, but to work together. The first story, coalitions of the willing are Europe's path to ever closer union. However, this underlines that a more pragmatic form of federalism could be key unlocking progress on important issues such as building a fighter aircraft for each other. The French and the Germans have been working up to this point on a joint fighter. They're now moving their vision from an actual airplane to a cloud defense that means that the software works for every member of the 27 members of the European Union. This is a larger story of shifting from a peace assumption for the next decades to a war assumption for the next decade. And to that, I add something that Judy referenced when the Bundestag first held elections last year, which is that the German infrastructure is inadequate for the German people, let alone defenses in the event of war. But now I learned it's true throughout the European Union. The railroads don't always match. So getting a train from Germany or Paris to the eastern wing of the EU of NATO is considered unlikely. Judy, it's a widespread problem, I learned, not just German infrastructure. You noted when the first attention by Mr. Baerts to infrastructure that was part of national defense, you noted that that was a wise thing. Is it moving in Germany? If we can build the roads in Germany, it's a good start. Where is that ambition for Mr. Baerts? Thank you.
John, the ambition for Mr. Baerts cannot be isolated and based on the national level. These countries are not isolated from each other. They are embedded inside the European Union, and there are no borders. What you need is an infrastructure that actually means that the train systems can operate with the French systems and the Belgian systems and so on. There's got to be what's called interoperability, that actually the infrastructure can click with other infrastructures throughout the EU countries. And we're talking about NATO countries as well. Firstly, second, this is an old story. And I've been writing about this for quite a long time. As soon as the Cold War was ended, what happened? You know, all the kind of defences, infrastructure, transport, airports, landing issues for aircraft, for helicopters, resupply issues, proper train systems that don't have different gauges. They were all sort of forgotten about. They weren't kept up to date. And now it's catching up on us, and now we have to scramble. By the way, NATO has been discussing this for at least 5 or 6 years, and the progress has been incredibly slow. And it goes back to my original point also about the EU. The EU and NATO have something in common. They react too slowly, and they don't look at the long-term strategic goals that they have to address to prepare for the future. And Russia's war in Ukraine surely must confirm that this is even more necessary than ever.
I want to give an illustration from the FT story about this to make it very clear that it's incomprehensible. In the wake of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 22, writes the FT, France was unable to send tanks to Romania, that's on the front lines, on the shortest land route through Germany, and instead had to ship them via the Mediterranean by ship. It's quite fantastic. And that was 3 years ago. So the expectation here is that it would take at least a month and a half to get equipment from Western Europe to Eastern Europe. By that time, an aggressor would be, let's say, considering the hills of Rome. So we're not talking about something that's not alarming, or is it not alarming? Is this just business as usual that we've got problems? Is that how it's treated, Judy?
It's not business as usual. Unfortunately, there isn't a sense of panic. And unfortunately, the public really isn't terribly aware of this. They don't like the idea of war. But we have seen what Russia has already allegedly done to a part of a train system in Poland last Sunday, and what they've been doing with drone attacks and intimidation of Denmark and other countries. But the fact is that the Europeans are not ready. And you mentioned something earlier on about coalitions of the willing. They've been talking about coalitions of the willing for the odd 2-3 years. And this was a big conference led in Paris, led by President Emmanuel Macron, the president of France. But nothing, so little has come for it. They're going for coalitions of the willing because they know there isn't a consensus or support for European political and economic integration. And that's the whole weakness of the European Union. Instead of integrating to deal head on in a united way with all these issues and crises that are facing the Europeans, now they're going for sort of little shelf solutions, coalitions of the willing here, coalitions of the willing there. It might be useful, but they keep talking about it. And you wonder how much little is being done.
A possible explanation is that the European Union does not actually feel threatened by the Russian aggression, have convinced themselves that it's a parochial matter to do with Russia and Kyiv, and that it will be worked out and we'll go back to business as usual. Is that currency in the land?
No. Let's leave out the language of the EU, the European Union, because that means the institutions in Brussels. But the EU member states, whether it's the Baltic states, Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, Sweden, NATO member Norway, Finland, EU, NATO member, they all know the threats. And they're completely aware of it. Their analysis done, even in the Defense Intelligence Unit and in the ministry here, the Defense Ministry in Berlin, that Russia is a serious threat. What Russia is doing is testing the resolve of the Europeans, whether it's NATO or the EU, intimidating them with attacks on trains, cyber attacks, chemical warfare, disinformation, bugging the parliaments, whether it's in Germany or other areas. It's testing the resolve and trying to do one thing, instill fear and therefore divisions in the European Union. And on the other hand, wanting to weaken the resolve of NATO and the EU. And so most EU member states, most are actually saying we've got to pull together and deal with this threat. Unfortunately, as I mentioned before, they are not looking ahead fast enough and putting in strategic structures to deal with, not the day after, to deal with today.
Checking on the concern that is widespread of the rise of populism, anti-immigrant, anti-NATO, anti-EU populism in Europe. Last week, you evidenced that there's concern about the growing power of AfD, not only in former Eastern Germany, but also Western Germany. I've been reading about it, Judy. You've identified something that worries everyone across Europe. Is there a collective understanding that something must be done? We have a couple of minutes. Or are they still sussing around writing feature pieces and not acting?
Well, writing feature pieces is a very benign way how you describe it. But actually, what's very interesting, there's a big split in the Alternative for Deutschland. This is the far right wing movement, which you mentioned, anti-NATO, pro-Russia. Two of their leading representatives have gone off to Sochi. This is the great resort down in southern Russia to meet senior Russian officials. Interestingly, Alice Weidel, head of the AfD, didn't want this to happen. So there's quite a split now in the AfD on how close they should be really with Russia. And Russia has already been identified and bribing them or allegedly bribing them or using them for intelligence and so on and spying. So this is a big issue. But the most important issue is that this coalition government led by Chancellor Merz and the Social Democratic Democratic Junior Coalition, is fumbling, they're falling in the polls, and guess who's actually going up the whole time? It's the Alternative for Deutschland. This is the big worry facing Germany. If Germany loses the centre, and if Germany loses this whole debate on the future of democracy, this is very, very bad news for not only Germany, but for the European Union as well.
Judy Dempsey, a senior scholar for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's based in Berlin. The concern for chocolate is real. It's not only entertainment, but it's a dim future because of transcontinental climate change caused by the raiders in the Amazon forest destroying the lungs of the global planet. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.